bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, it's the big show, and we're on time, actually-ish. Only 15, 17 minutes late. We're here to discuss the week's technology, such as it's been, and it's been fantastic this week. Some really, really interesting stories. Top left, joining me to discuss it, we've got the fantastic James Hart.
Good evening, Ewan. Good evening, listener.
New boy.
Do you know, I learned a new phrase this week, which may actually come into the discussion later on. It's called F-commerce, and it doesn't begin, you don't prefix it with well. Apparently, there is a new thing called Facebook commerce, not e-commerce, except Facebook-based. And I've never heard of it.
Okay, thank you for that, mate.
That's how the thing I've learned this week.
Jolly good. And everyone else has too now. How have you been, old boy?
Very well, thank you, yeah.
Still loving the new job?
Very much enjoying the new job. Not too many trips up the M1 that have taken longer than an hour yet. So I tell you what, all it takes is a bit of rain and everybody starts driving. It's a right old pain.
Monday morning going to work, mate, for me down south. Bloody horrendous. Next to him, we've got stepping in the wonderful Alex Fox. How's it going, mate?
I'm okay. Oh, I am next to him. I didn't realise.
Yeah, you're on line one, mate.
Yes. I should have noticed. I'm great. Thank you.
Good, mate. Good week.
It's been all right. Quiet. I saw you.
We had a drink together. Can't be all bad.
Exactly.
Next to him, we've got Sarah returning from her trip to Ireland. How are you doing, girl? Oh, blimey. What's happened to your face there?
Why? Whoa.
Yeah, that looks weird. You can get cream for that.
Yeah, obviously. It looks like I need it.
Looks like one of them G+.
And it's staying on me as well.
Blimey.
It looks like one of those. One of those virtual things where, like, the goggles follow you around on the webcam, except it's like for some kind of facial disease.
I've got to wipe it off. That's what it is.
You chroma keyed yourself in.
Yeah, no chroma key on the channel. There we go. Sorted. How was Ireland and the trip home? And
it was fine. It was fine. I must admit, I was glad to get back. So. Come back to a load of stuff to do and a ton of emails on Monday morning, which the wonders of being away, I'm beginning to wonder whether it's such a good idea to leave them all for the whole week.
Yeah, absolutely. Batwinch says your inner cyborg is showing and it's slowly coming back.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Sarah's actually a Terminator.
I'm wiping it away.
The skin is rotting off to reveal the metal endoskeleton.
What's going on?
I think you need a reboot.
Sarah will be back.
I will be back.
And uncybered Eric Lanigan. How you doing, mate?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. We've had an email.
Hmm?
After last week's show, we've had an email.
First one?
No, but but they usually call me names. I've had an email relating to you, mate. So, here we go. Dear Ewan and the gang, I'm writing to clarify a point which perplexed me on last week's show. Listening to Eric's cool thing of the Kindle Paperwhite, he said that he bought it because he didn't have a decent reading light for his normal Kindle. Did I hear right? Not wishing to judge Eric or suggest that he's been young and foolhardy, but surely $119 on a Paperwhite as opposed to taking a trip to a flea market or IKEA and getting a reading lamp for $10 is just that. America must truly be the promised land. Regards, Eric Winters, ERICWINTERS, by the way.
Jingle for him.
Bournemouth. There you go, Eric. Eric says. And so many Erics. Eric says, Mr. Winters says, you're being young and foolhardy for buying $119 on a Kindle Paperwhite instead of going and getting a bloody reading lamp.
Point well taken.
Okay. But you still love it, and you're not going to get a reading lamp.
I still love it. I still say everybody who should take back their old Kindles and buy this new one. The light, it makes all the difference.
Okay. Far better than...
Let me put it into a slightly different context, because remember, this is also for reading not in the same chair every time, and not necessarily in your own home every time. You should take it with you. You should be able to read it with it anywhere, because it's a little portable thing.
Well, you could have got a lamp on a helmet.
Yeah.
I could have. I could have had a miner's light with the headlight. With the first Kindle I got, you remember like a year ago, I told you I got the Amazon made leather case that combined, it had two little sensors in the back, or two little metal conducting pieces of metal, I don't know the proper word, that that siphoned the battery power off of the Kindle itself and powered a little blue LED at the top. And this is what they told everyone to buy, and it got good reviews. I even saw a review the other day saying it's still the best of the top-down reading lights. That was $65, and it was awful. I took the thing back immediately. I opened up, plugged it in, said, this sucks, sent it back. Because it was the light was so uneven, it was so bad.
Did you turn it on? Did you turn it on?
You know, that would have helped. That would have helped. No, it makes a huge difference. The paper white, and every reviewer is saying this, it's the best front lit screen of that type. It's a huge difference.
Excellent.
What about a candle?
I stand by it. Oh, a candle. I didn't say that would only cost 30 cents. I don't think it is.
Yeah, plus the cost of the batch.
Plus you'd have got the pleasure of when the wax drips on you.
Can the candle use the battery power in the Kindle? Is it a rechargeable candle?
A rechargeable candle.
The USB. How does a candle work? How do candles work? They're lithium ion, right?
USB candle, that's what you
want. Yeah, they're prone to flame out the same as lithium ion is, yeah. Mixed with air. Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
You have to be careful.
The Week in Tech. If you're looking for the Dixons website, holy hell, it's disappeared. I don't know why. I think since John Barrett went to Apple, Dixons have realised they can no longer be associated, or they're not viable as a corporate identity anymore. He's sullied them too much. And they've pulled it down. Apparently now you go to Currys. So Currys is now the dominant name, and that's quite a huge rebranding here in the UK. Not too bad at all. Microsoft have outed a whole load of websites that they want taken down under the DMCA, which includes the bbc.co.uk/cbeebies/grownups/guide. And apparently a lot of these are in there because of the number 45. But I don't see it. President 45 ROM, there you go, is on one of them. But there's a whole pile of sites to be taken down, including the US government as well. So at the moment, they're not particularly happy with Microsoft.
So now Apple's got rectangles and Microsoft's got the number 45.
Allegedly. And 42 is the answer to everything. The US Department of Defense have managed to get two drones to refuel each other, which is just what you need, a weapon of mass destruction that becomes autonomous and life-threatening and elongated forever. And Firefox has been taken down after its new issue because of some security leaks. And also, some researchers in Bonn have worked out that actually they've run an algorithm and we're all a computer program that's like the Matrix. The universe, the entire universe is nothing more than a computer program. And that's it.
We're it could be. You can't prove it wrong. Matrix.
Could be. I'm prepared just in case.
There's no argument that there's no way to conclusively prove that you're not a brain in the jar.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. But I've always realized that I'm on the Ewan show, like the Truman show type thing. I knew it. I've got a jammer up here tonight. Where should we start then? Do you fancy the Dixons thing? I think that's quite interesting. Dixons has disappeared all in a day with no apparent reason. It's gone from being Dixon's store group to Currys store group.
I haven't heard of either.
I mean, they've been rebranding the stores, all the Dixon stores as Currys anyway for some time. So it's not really a great surprise.
No,
not entirely sure what the American equivalent is. It's not Best Buy. It's because it just does electricals, doesn't it?
Well, it's fries.
From a camera. It's Fries, is it? Okay.
Yeah, but it's the story, Eric, is kind of like it's Fries Electrical is actually owned by a corporation, say Best Buy, which it isn't, I know, but Best Buy Group has got this other branded outlet that it calls Fry's Electrical. And then for no apparent reason, what was previously the smaller of the two has suddenly rebranded all of the larger ones. I mean, it's like Fry's suddenly saying, well, Fry's is a more merchantable brand than Best Buy is, and just taking over the larger group. And Dixon Stores Group was a huge thing. It had Currys,
PC World,
and
it's a mobile another as well,
and another.
Yeah, that's like what the banks did with Wachovia. I mean, you see this sometimes where, like, if the old brand is tarnished by scandal or something, they'll take the little brand that no one heard of and buy that, and then suddenly the whole company is rebranded with this little regional one that no one had heard of before.
Yeah, I mean, this has come for a little while, but But John Browett has disappeared to Apple, of course. And it's quite a big thing, I would have thought, because I would have thought Dixon's would have been the more merchantable brand. They've always been renowned for crap customer service, though.
Oh, say it again. You said he went to Apple. Is he the guy that took over as head of Apple retail?
Yes, Browett was head of Dixon's retail.
Oh, that's interesting, because you know the guy who was head of Apple retail, the guy who basically built the Apple stores Johnson, for the first 10 years. Yeah, he went over to JCPenney, and everyone seems to think he's running it into the ground.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I guess you guys don't have JCPenney. I hadn't thought of that.
No, but I know who it is. I think a lot of people probably know who it is.
It's a big department store group. Yeah, it's one of the classic department stores. It might be 100 years old or thereabout. But now it's considered sort of a discount clothing chain. You see it attached to big shopping malls. And I think if I have this right, his idea was to get rid of the sales, like the big game of sales, which, you know, it's like, well, you have to have your coupons, or you have to have a special weekend sale. But it's just a way that gets people in the door because the prices are otherwise artificially inflated. He said, let's forget that and let's just do an Apple style thing. No sales ever. Everything's just the flat rate. And they actually lost a lot of customers because they found people were addicted to the coupons and the sales.
Why?
That's rubbish. I mean, that is just shows he doesn't know the market at all, because people are not going to shops anymore. I mean, the department stores are, if you like, sounding the death knell of the department stores, really. You go to a department store, you get niches of stuff you don't really need, unless, of course, you're buying clothes. But yes, oh dear.
Also,
well, it shows. I mean, what's interesting to me about that is it shows how much that we, meaning the average human, doesn't understand how retail is shaped, because we're so used to thinking that, a sale, that means it's a special deal. It's a special percent off today only. And we don't realize that you see this again with like Groupon and all these different, you know, web deals, sign up for deals. Let's get deals on your phone, deals to your iPhone, deals to your email, all these deals. And that hides the fact that the more people that use deals, the more they have to make up for that by charging an extra inflated price on the non-sale price. So the only way to buy it smartly is to watch for the sales, watch for the coupons, and go crazy having to, you know, obsess over the coupons and sales. Whereas the guy who just walks in and just buys something off the shelf pays a very inflated price. So logic would tell you that the better thing for everybody, the most convenient thing for everybody, would be to just have that flat rate. But we've been so conditioned to distrust the flat rate, distrust the non-sale price, that people, in this case, just stop going to the store.
Which is like our furniture stores here. The DFS sale has been on since, there's a furniture sale that is on all year round, except for probably 2 weeks just after Christmas when nobody, just before, around about sort of February, when nobody wants to go and buy a sofa. And that is when they mark the prices up to the prices which the sale prices have come down to. You're absolutely right. It makes a whole mockery of it. But And window companies will say, we'll do the front of your house and you get the back of the house free. No, you won't. You're just going to pay twice as much for the front of your house.
Right.
Batwing says that Dixon's online hub has got 32 gigabyte playbook for £120 each. Well, that's interesting, because I've just typed in Dixons.com and it's gone. Nothing there. It just automatically.
How long ago was that though, Batwench? Because that was probably and the playbook. Well, that did do quite a lot of loss leading. When I say loss leading, well, just loss really.
Yeah, well, they were being sold for was it $99, wasn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
A couple of weeks ago, last one. I think it was probably a clearance sale, wasn't it?
James, you wanted to talk about the changing camera format for a lossy DNG.
Yes, I was interested to see this story because JPEG has been around for, years. It was created by this joint picture evaluation group to be a universal standard. And I think the patent expired in 2006, and now everybody can use it without license. As soon as you introduce a new version of any kind of format, there is a requirement for licensing for it. So that's what I'm interested in, is whether or not it'll actually be taken up, because people are scared to want to risk the wrath of licensing, or will it actually be taken off? Will it take off because everybody just goes, well, they're not going to be able to prosecute us for it if we use it's that tipping point where actually it becomes so many people end up using it. The brilliant thing about it is the fact it can do high dynamic range photography, cropping, lossy, but lossy but not destructive editing of a photo, which of course JPEGs can't do. But the other side of that I was interested in was the fact that PNG, which is supposed to be kind of like your web-based graphics, hasn't taken off. And I'm wondering if DNG ever will, because it just hasn't got that kind of traction yet. And I don't know if it ever will, unless, of course, it becomes a niche thing.
Well, PNG, of course, has got issues with file size, because generally speaking, you'll get significantly bigger PNG file sizes than you will with JPEG.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's no EXIF data with PNG. That's one of the big downfalls. When I was doing a photo scanning project years ago, I was thinking, well, I want to save it in the highest quality. I'll do lossless. And then I found out it can't save any metadata. You know, if you bring it into like an iPhoto or a Adobe Lightroom or something that manages metadata, then you'll be okay. But if you ever move the photo out of there, it loses all the camera data and the name and any meta tags you have associated with it. So PNG kind of dropped the ball there. It was a great compression technology, but didn't actually meet JPEG in its features.
So you kind of, the question is, therefore, are we ready for a new format? Because this thing is, as you say, it's lossy. It can probably do exactly what it can do, the metadata stuff. It's based on RAW. And I think RAW can have the metadata associated with it, can't it?
That's where it comes from.
Where it is. That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't need metadata. It's got everything in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got the world in one sort of thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, do bear in mind as well that people look at RAW and think that RAW is lossless and huge and everything that the sensor ever sees. And it's not. There's an awful lot of proprietary RAW formats that actually do compression, and they do lossy compression. I think Nikon does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't know it's lossy.
It's lossy. Nikon do a format of their RAW file, which is lossy, 45%-ish.
But it makes sense. If you've got an open format like TIFF, which is everything, which is four times the size of a RAW file, the RAW file must therefore be compressing something.
Yeah, you guys are all right, because we definitely do need a new image standard. I'm not crazy about it being a proprietary Adobe standard. I think they have a very poor track record of making standards, except for PDF. That's the one thing where it became open enough that now everyone and every piece of software can freely access it.
That's by popularity, though, isn't it?
Sorry?
Any format becomes successful by its success within the market. So PDF became this thing that was extremely usable, extremely functional, and was quickly widespread. And Adobe backed away from huge quantities of licensing on it because of the fact it was so, they were making, you know, millions and millions and millions from 1 cent gathers per year off a provider. So, you know, the more people use it, the cheaper it's going to get for everyone. Definitely a supply and demand market.
Except, you know, Google tried this with not WebM, that's the video one. Was it WebP? Was that
the picture? No one wanted it. That's the point. No one wanted it.
I keep talking over you. What?
No one wanted it and no one had it.
Right. And I think part of the issue there is you've got the biggest thing is the inertia of everything in the world can read JPEGs. You can find a computer made in 1990 that can read a JPEG. You know, so starting from scratch and saying nothing ever made before today can read this new format, it's really tough to take off the ground. You know, add licensing fees, add other restrictions to that, and it's even harder. So that's one of the things that's why we still see the prevalence of JPEG, even though there have been numerous technologies, including JPEG 2000, which is even better than that. JPEG is still the standard, just like MP3. Because even though better things have come along, it's the one thing that you're guaranteed for everyone to be able to play.
But, I mean, there is a new JPEG format, which is about quarter the size and twice the quality of JPEG and JPEG 2000. But it's
JPEG
been licensed.
2000. Sorry.
No, but it's been licensed. It's so expensive to use that... didn't you buy the license for that once, Ewan? The new JPEG format?
No.
No, you didn't buy it because you tried it. I mean, PNG is good. I mean, people do use PNG. I know people that use PNG purely to strip metadata because there's no other way of stripping it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, you don't want the customer you've shot for knowing all the details, because some of them, basically, I come across sometimes customers that know so little that they start getting someone to read the details of the metadata, and you get these questions that are completely irrelevant. And so I know people that work for these companies that they put it into PNG and pull it out again, so it's pulled the metadata off. It's a good tool for that. But the DNG, if that's what you're talking about, because I still can't find the article, Adobe have been working on using this DNG for I don't know, 5 years? Mm. And they've changed it. But what the DNG is for, it's meant to be a standard format for all RAW file technologies. I mean, I've been using DNG for maybe 5 years.
Yeah, you keep pushing the free converter.
Yeah, I mean, the reason being is if you want to shoot something in, I can't remember what the RAW for Canon is.
Canon RAW.
What is called a NEF on Nikon, and you've got a Sony. Every camera and every camera manufacturer have got a different make. But what this DNG RAW thing does is you can convert it into a single file type, which everyone else can read, but it still keeps the RAW data. And so all they've done now is they've made this file that they've been using for years and years and years, and us professionals have been using it for years. They've just changed the algorithm so the compression ratio is even higher than it used to be. But it's a great standard, and it's a brilliant use for anyone that wants to keep more information than a JPEG. So all they've done is updated what they've already been doing, but professionals have been using it for years.
I think what you've seen here is in inverted commas, a megalomaniac that's Adobe has created a format that could be really useful, but it's about how they intend to use it going forward. But DNG's always been relatively open. I say relatively in inverted commas. There's three converters for it and things like that, and nearly everything will read it. So,
does anyone know if iPhoto and Apple stuff supported that, or did Apple stay away from that?
Well, Apple stuff is JPEG, and they've only just standardized their screen to sRGB, so they were a long way from sort of any kind of...
No, I mean like iPhoto, like if you have a camera that shoots native DNG, will iPhoto handle those, or will it have to convert them?
No, it does. It already converts it. It already holds it.
It's got an inbuilt RAW thing whenever it does an update. So you don't see it. You don't have the control over the Apple RAW that you do in, for instance, Adobe, but Apple just does its best guess in the background and gives you a JPEG.
Windows XP.
That's kind of my point, though. I mean, I don't have the information about this, but I'm saying there must be something that people like Apple don't like about how Adobe's approach to this, because it sounds like you're saying that DNGs can technically come into iPhoto, but they have to be, you know, transmuted into this different format.
No. It reads DNGs natively. Same as it reads CR2, which is Canon RAW version 2. RAWs in natively, and the same it reads NERF.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually give you the ability to use them. It then gives it to you in a format that it wants you to have. But you don't have to do anything. It just does it for you.
It doesn't destroy your original either, though.
No. Someone's mentioning acronyms are confusing. Did we say that DNG stands basically for digital negative?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what it is.
Okay. Mm. Batwin, she's saying the inner blonde is getting confused because it sounds all very techie at the minute. Sorry, girl. And Gordon says, Harriet's not very well. Could I give her a shout out? Get well soon, Harriet. There you go. Microsoft has created the wrist sensor to end all wrist sensors that will solve all the problems with Kinect, and it won't be bulky and unusable at all. And this is it.
It looks like that weapon that Daniel Craig had in Cowboys versus Aliens. He's going to shoot you from his wrist.
It sure does, partner. And do you feel lucky, Punk? It looks like Web Slinger, doesn't it? It's Web Slinger 1.0.
Spider-Man.
I mean, it's a concept device. It's great. But, I mean, are we really interested in sensors being mounted on us for our gaming?
Oh, is that what it's for?
Yeah, it's a sensor. It's a hardware sensor that's supposed to replace Kinect because it's got an IR camera and it sees where you're moving and it does everything for you. So instead of having Kinect, you're going to be covered in sensors.
Well, yeah, I think if you could replace it...
Why don't you just have a bodysuit or something like that with sensors all over it that you put on when you play a game?
There you go. Everyone just has to put on those little ping pong ball sensors like when you do a motion capture.
How is that better than Kinect?
Allegedly.
Great.
Kinect can't see fingers. Perfect. That's the problem.
Oh, well, there you go. Because in future, all gaming is going to be about your fingers.
Well, in the past, it's all about the
fingers.
Unless,
of course, we've got back to the porn industry. Do apologize.
We really want to see those fingers.
I say obviously that's a big, bulky prototype. When they finally get to, you know...
No, really?
Feet, it'll be much smaller and slicker. I think that has a lot of potential. I think people... I think if motion gaming has a future, it at least has a future of not holding something like a Wii Remote or a PlayStation. What is that? Move? Is that called Move controller? I'm blanking out.
It's the Move.
I think it's the Move. Yeah, you don't want to hold like a remote control and then, I mean, Nintendo made you put a silicon protector over it because people were slinging it straight at their TV set and cracking the screen. So obviously this is a problem with some individuals. So just strap it to your wrist and then move around and let it record your appendages of all kinds.
The thing is, as James said, connect does it all, doesn't it?
It doesn't do fingers though.
Not enough yet. It's not quite there. That's the problem. But they've got the, I can't remember what it was called, that thing we did the other... We looked at the other week, this thing that sits on your desktop, and it's kind of like even it, all it takes is one X. Well, the next generation of Kinect will do it, just like the Wii Plus or whatever it was with the extra sensitivity.
Motion Plus. Yeah.
It just needs to be sensitive enough to be able to pick up even the slightest finger movement or any kind of movement.
Apparently, this thing's called Digits, and it's an infrared technology that allows you to grip your fingers in the shape of a gun, and it would then recognise that you are holding a finger and thumb like a gun. So
you need extra sensitive thermal protection.
Just like this? Like this is your gun?
Pow!
That's silly.
No. You hold your finger up like
really,
this, I guess.
You really want someone to walk in and see you in your living room going through going through Borderlands 2 or something. Just pow, pow, with your little finger.
I've had worse. People have walked in my lounge and seen worse. It's fine.
And in a pink shirt.
And in a pink shirt. Go on, Sarah.
What's wrong with doing that if you're playing a shoot-'em-up?
It's because the gun you're controlling on the screen is like this gigantic science fiction plasma cannon, and you're shooting with your little finger.
So you pretend you're holding a rifle or a machine gun or whatever it is.
You look like a prat.
But that's the whole point. When you play in these games, you do. But
and then someone calls you on Skype and you have to answer it like that. Hello?
Yeah, but you could virtually pick up the Skype box, couldn't you? Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You could just do virtual typing. You wouldn't need a keyboard anymore.
Yeah, you just wave your fingers around Skype, and it will actually know what to do.
Booker in the chat room wants to know if this is going to allow you to give the finger in virtual games, so you can play Grand Theft Auto. And
now that would be a hilarious Easter egg. Like if you did, like give the finger, like they don't advertise it, but if you do flip someone off, they go, "Hey, hey, screw you!"
One of 500 recognized gestures. Remember Agincourt.
I don't know if this is a true use of this, but surely I'm trying to get the right thing now. So it's obviously the deaf people that sign. I just didn't want to get it completely wrong and get laughed at. But if you got this sort of technology and it works, surely you could use it for something useful, like being able to have a conversation. Deaf people might be able to use it for being able to try and language over the internet and get a response. So you could have a deaf person talking to a blind person via a computer. You know, there must be a use for it. I can't figure it out in my head at the moment because I'm still tired.
I love the fact that the chat room doesn't go in sequence with each other's conversations. And you get two together. Paul Ums suggests it's the Kinect prostate examination game. And Toad's immediate reply is, yeah, but it wouldn't work in slow-mo.
Alex's minor confusion about making sure, you know, deaf and signing thing reminds me of a story that Beth told me. Apparently, they came within weeks of getting very upset because of the DDA regulations to installing braille signs at the Dartford crossing for blind drivers.
Surely you should have done that with a rumble strip.
Spot the flaw in this cunning plan.
Oh, you must have not the 9 o'clock news.
I love
this man.
Script.
This man can't hear the phone ring. I mean, that is an absolute classic with Rowan Atkinson. And you're sitting there. I was watching it, and I was what a great idea that is. A bulb on the end of his head so he can hear the phone ring, and then he picks it up and goes, "Hello, hello." Hello?
No one there and puts them over there.
Facebook has invented and is selling, the Hug You Jacket. And basically, you connect it to your Facebook account, and if you're walking round via the various telemetry that's in it, if someone likes something that you put on Facebook, the coat gives you a hug.
Aren't they doing unlike now?
Are we back to the porn industry again? Oh, man.
Someone hates you. Does it strangle you?
Yeah, it just goes tighter and tighter and tighter.
This goes back to what Sarah said about wearing a whole outfit that's got this interactive... Well, what's wrong with actually going and hugging somebody for real?
Yeah.
The police, the fact that none of your...
This actually reminds me of something I saw today at work with one of my colleagues who rides a motorbike, and he showed me this jacket that he's got that he plugs into the bike to keeps him warm when he's riding the bike, and I thought, that is unbelievable.
Does it keep him attached to the bike when he's going over a cliff? Not there's many cliffs in Essex, I suppose. But
no, it's just literally, it's almost like it's got a USB thing you just plug into the bike. And it's got a heater. It keeps him warm when he's on the bike.
It's like something out of an old World's Fair. It's a long distance telehug. A self hugging parka.
I plug myself into my bike. Well, what you do at weekends, mate?
Yeah.
It's your own version. Is it the strap for the porn version? Thank you, Batwitch. Cheers. David Cameron is also on Twitter this week. He signed up as David_Cameron. And
tweets.
Do you think he's got at reply switched off?
Well, yeah. I just have to say, if you're on the street and you're talking to somebody, you have to suddenly be like, oh, hold on, I'm getting a hug. Hold on. Getting a hug.
Can
wait,
you imagine
wait
that?
A second.
It'd be like a fast show character. And, oh, that's better.
Well, right. if they did a coat that tied you to your Twitter account and you were David Cameron and you were wearing that coat, you wouldn't be getting a lot of hugs from what I saw.
I was going to say, no, what else nice. Can we have?
Man alive. Hugs? There are words that I would never use in everyday life down at the rugby club that were being used for David Cameron this week.
I don't think he reads his at replies.
I really hope not. If he's a gibbering wreck if he does. I mean, celebs on Twitter, it just kind of made a thought in my mind, because I don't believe for one second David's lying there next to his missus saying, I'm going to go for a poo now. Anyway, enough for one day, I'm going to try and cop it off with the missus. I mean, he's not doing this himself, it's all PR stuff, and I just get so sick and tired of celebs being on Twitter, because it's all bull.
Well,
or is David actually doing it?
Even all of them. The customer service, the customer service Twitter accounts, the ones for Tesco, Luton Airport, Virgin. I think Virgin Media have got their own, but quite a few of them get agencies in to do their tweeting for them. These companies, so it's basically like a marketing agency. Somebody is being paid to be a tweeter for Tesco. I mean, what a cool job that is.
It's probably Paul Wheatley.
True.
That reminds me of the tweet that you retweeted today, the O2 one, Ewan.
Yeah, with the that was very good, actually. There was a guy who came out. I didn't understand what the first bit said, but I'm too old and white. And the reply was superb from O2. Well done, O2. Stephen Fry's great, says the chat room, because he does them himself.
Yeah, I was going to make the point that generally the celebs I follow are ones that actually it's very obvious they tweet themselves. It turns me off from actually following anyone, any celeb on Twitter, if I get any... whiff of the fact that they're actually they're not doing them themselves.
Hands up.
I'm a bit bewildered by people. Why would anybody be interested in what a footballer's got to say?
Yeah, I know.
Lewis tweeted out this week, as Tone rightly mentions, that Jensen wasn't following anymore on Twitter and he was upset.
Oh,
and now, was that a random Twitter unfollow, or was that Jensen going, well, if you don't want to be teammates, then I'm going home?
Jensen, I know we're getting off the subject, but Jensen was was very quick to say welcome to Mr. Perez.
Okay, we'll talk
about
that.
You're talking that racing thing again, aren't you?
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Driving about.
Hands up then. Which celebs do you follow? And
Ewan Rank.
Are they sure they're real or fake? I really doubt I'm a celeb at 1,000 followers, mate, or so. So, James, do you follow any celebs?
I do. But very, very few, mainly because unless you can... there are some celebrities, for example, like Charlie Brooker, that if he's written a piece in The Guardian or he's doing a new programme, I'm interested in finding out more about it, which is great. The other celebrities who I follow are the type of celebrity, in inverted commas, who are well-known in the fields I'm interested in. You know, the likes of Gia, Brian Cox's wife, also an amazing geek... journalist, and she writes some really interesting things. She writes about her family, and it's really good to sort of be interested in, you know, it's kind of like, so it's a lifestyle, so lifestyle celebrities, people whose lives very much mirror my own because they're geeks as well, kind of thing. Most of the celebrities I follow are the likes of Bill Thompson, the geeky sort.
Yeah, Fuller Bell.
And Eddie Mair. I mean, I go through them. There's a few, but not many. I think I probably follow as many spoof accounts as I do celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably got a few more spoofs than I have celebs, definitely. Alex, any?
No, but I'm followed by a few.
Oh, right. Who follows you that you don't follow them?
They chop and change. But I got quite a few people that, you know, are celebrated artists and things, because obviously that's what I do. They follow me. But I, to be honest, I don't have... And it's a terrible thing to say, but I have no interest in what a celebrity wants to say, as in... If you like, to me, it's a bit like spam. I mean, what was that? Is her name Lady Gaga? I'm really up with these things, right? She's got 30 million followers, and I've no idea what she could possibly say that even 30
Yeah, but she's not doing it. I don't believe
that's
for a second.
Point. That's my point. And, I mean, I wrote something to Mr. Fry recently, but I think it was purely because Sarah wrote something, and I saw Sarah write something, and I thought
Stephen
really
Fry follows me.
Yeah, and I just wrote... something, and I got something eventually sort of back about 3 days later, and I thought, well, that's quite pleasant of the fella, but I've no interest in what I don't think Twitter should be a celebrity based thing. I think it should be a social based thing. And
well, no, it's a celebrity based thing. That's fine if they're just being people. Stephen Fry, Wassey. I follow Frankie Boyle as well, and he's I find him very tough to stay following too, because sometimes they come out with something that's absolutely priceless. And then the next three, I'm like, oh, no, that's really inappropriate. I'm not following that.
But they're all him. But it's still him, though.
It's him that's doing it. That's what keeps me there. That's what keeps me there, absolutely.
But the trick I find is to follow people. I mean, obviously, I follow Ewan because you're Ewan. But there's certain people that you know are going to filter out all the crap, and they're going to retweet the things that are worth seeing.
Yeah.
So I see everything Frankie Boyle does that is any good because you let me have it.
Yeah.
So in a funny way, I'm abusing you. But
no, that's fine.
The way I do it.
It's just a benefit.
Bat Wench has put, she follows Tom Hiddleston, Ewan, Inatco, Obama, Obala M, and Tony Leaf. So I'm very flattered. Thank you. I'm in good company there. Do apologise. Sir Richard Branson, does he tweet himself?
Steve Martin does.
I definitely follow him.
Richard Branson was one I actually found that I wasn't too... I did initially follow him, and then... I actually stopped because I got the sense that he wasn't doing the tweets.
I don't get why anyone would follow a political candidate. I mean, to talk about not writing their own tweets is obviously that their staff writing it. But besides that, it's never anything useful or funny or anything. It's always just ads, you know, give me money. Why would you follow that?
Yeah, I mean, Cameron hasn't done that, I don't think, so far. Dan Sumption, who's retweeted a few tweets that used inappropriate language, is in the chat room, and he said that he's pretty sure Branson's is his PR people and not him.
So. All it will take is one disgruntled PR person to blow it out of the water, because that's what normally happens, isn't it? These MPs who get their researchers to do their tweets for them and then find out on Monday morning what they've been writing about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Ashley Cole does his own tweets.
Yeah, but he hasn't got his own spell check.
No. Did you get that one wrong? Never mind, though. Bad luck, Ashley. At least you're still in. Firefox has had its latest version removed this week. It went up, and then someone's found a huge horror hole in it, and it's been pulled away. Batwinch has used it and said, did I take my version down? But I didn't install it. I haven't used Firefox for about three... Well, I haven't used Firefox since I got Chrome when it first came out. So anyone had Firefox in, and anyone rolled back or...
I think, like a lot of people, I moved away from Firefox. I got fed up with the memory leaks I was getting from about version 3 onwards. And since I've discovered Chrome, and especially with things like Sync in Chrome, I just no reason. The only reason I go anywhere near Firefox is for cross-browser testing when I'm testing a website.
Yeah, I don't find it a good browser experience. And I was very reliant on it for plugins for doing the Daily Show. And very frequently.
Yeah. Well, what happens is a new version of the Firefox comes out and the plugin's completely out of date. What concerns me, though, is that Firefox, at least it gives you the option to update. You know, it comes, well, there's a new version available. Do you want to do it? Well, no, can't be bothered with that.
Yeah.
Google Chrome, every time you start it up, it does an update check and will download a new version, which could be a pile of poop without you even knowing. That could really scupper a lot of people.
But that's never happened, I have to say.
Yet.
No, okay. I grant you the yet's appropriate, mate, but What I'm saying is I've used Google Chrome effortlessly. All the plugins have always worked every single time. Mm-hmm. It's also a nice little sort of safe haven for running flashing, and that's the end of it. I don't have flash anywhere else, so it's not taking tons of cycles. If I shut Chrome down, it disappears. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak ill of it, I'm afraid.
I think the thing I find with Chrome is that I learnt the lesson from Firefox of having lots of plugins, and I try and resist the temptation and only have a few. But the two really big ones for me are Firebug and Chris Pederick's Web Developer Toolbar, both of which are incorporated as standard into Chrome. So that actually takes out a large amount of the things I actually use it for anyway. So it's pretty much, you know, out of the box, and I had no reason to even consider going back to Firefox.
Is there a plugin to make it so that you get a picture of a kitten every time you inadvertently click on a Daily Mail website link? There's one for that for Firefox. They should have that. If they've got it for Chrome, I'm sold.
I'm sure we can find somebody to write it for you.
Yeah.
Did Felix Baumgartner jump yet?
No, it's Sunday, apparently.
Sunday.
Yeah.
But they didn't put it up again because they put his balloon up.
The biggest load of hype, isn't it? Biggest load of old hype.
Well,
is David Blaine not getting electrocuted?
Sorry, what's this?
David Blaine, he's doing this thing where he's inside a Faraday, he's wearing a metal suit and he's being zapped from all sides for 72 hours. Absolute complete waste of time. But that isn't that David Blaine all over. The Git Wizard, as I believe
he's wearing a metal suit.
That's
he's
right.
Wearing,
right, so nothing's passing. Nothing's passing through him. There's no path to
Earth. The biggest danger to him are the fumes due to the air going and turning into ozone and electrifying, ionizing. But that's all being ventilated. So basically, he's just standing there looking like a glowing arse for 3 days.
Which is what he is.
Well, he's made a career out of that, really, to be fair, hasn't he?
Now there's somebody
All it takes is someone with a water pistol, and he's screwed, though.
I've got to say...
Now there's an idea.
I've got to say, Baumgartner is 23 miles up. I was going to say 23 feet up then. 23 miles up. I think he's earned the height, mate. He's going to break 700 miles an hour coming down.
If his parachute doesn't open, he's going to go a lot quicker than that.
Well, no, he'll slow down as he gets into the atmosphere, but no one knows if he's going to burn up or what. I think it's fantastic. Cutting-edge stuff. We don't do enough of it. Him and Yves Rossi, he's another one. He's a nutter. He deserves every bit of praise he gets.
Is he the guy who does the...
He's the flying wing, the four jet engines.
Yeah, all right. Oh, crikey, nutcase.
He's an absolute nutter, and he's brilliant.
Oh, but there's been the world of nutcase. The guy who did the tightrope walking across the Twin Towers was just... Oh, what on earth possesses somebody to do something
Have you
like
seen
that?
Man on Wire? Brilliant film.
Absolutely.
For a documentary, I thought it was excellent.
Couldn't watch it. It was just too scary for my ear. I don't do heights, you see.
He came down and some woman walked up to him and they went off and had sex and that was it. Because he was a celeb. Came out of the police station. She went off and slept with her. That was it. Done. Life in the 70s.
He must have been one ugly bugger if he had to go to that.
He ain't the best, no. No, he was 70s, wasn't it? Oh, was it 60s? 70s. 70s. It was 70s. I'm sure it was 70s.
Flower power and all that,
might be 60s. Who knows? Who knows? There's no more news, really. That's kind of it. Anyone got anything else they want to add? Anyone want to talk about something else?
Hey, I brought up Facebook and no one cared.
Tell us about Facebook then, please.
There's a giant insider trading scandal here, guys, and no one even cares.
I haven't seen that.
There's a big story. Look at it. I put it in the document here, but anyone else can see there's a big, like, 25-page cover story on Bloomberg about the Facebook. It looks like it's called Facebook Fought SEC to Keep Mobile Risks Hidden Before IPO Crash. So if you've been following their stock, they're down to about a third of their initial value. Value, of course, was when the IPO came out, it was based on like 107 times yearly revenue. So it would have taken 107 years for them to, at that same rate of revenue, to have grown. So that was the to make up that money. That was the predictor. People thought it was going to become over 107 times its size in the very near future. And, you know, a lot of us knew, I knew, people who followed the story before that knew that it was extremely overvalued already being traded on the private market before it ever went public. It was already overhyped. It was already being oversold. And many would argue that they've already got all the customers in the world that they may ever get. So the big problem now is how do they get the advertising revenue? And they've been doing very poorly at that. Well, now it comes out that the Securities and Exchange Commission that they had to file these documents with and disclose everything before the IPO, apparently they didn't tell the SEC until about 8 days before they went public that they were that the outlook on mobile advertising was very poor. And we've heard Facebook now say a number of times that they have trouble showing ads on the smaller mobile phone screens, which more and more people use to access Facebook, and more people use that exclusively, totally bypassing a traditional desktop web browser with all the nice margins in which to display ads. So there's that. There's the fact that they seem to have kept that hidden from the SEC. Then when they finally disclosed that, like days before they went public, their major underwriters, I forget whether it was JP Morgan or Morgan Chase, it's one of those two, it's one of the big Wall Street banks. When they found out that they were forecasting badly, they said, well, let's increase the number of shares. Let's raise the price. So there may be, no one ever goes to jail because of anything Wall Street ever does, but there may be some truly illegal insider trading that went on here. And the worst part of it is, the so-called mom and pop investors, retail investors, which just means like you and me, the people at home trying to put some savings into stock, and everyone thought, oh, it's Facebook, it's the deal of the century. We didn't get it in on the first wave of dot-coms, so we'll get it on this one. And everyone loves Facebook, right? So it's this big thing. And even towards that goal, and knowing people would do that because everyone loves Facebook, everyone loves it, everyone uses it, everyone wants a piece of the stock. They sold about 25% of the IPO price, 25% of the IPO shares, went to those retail investors, the average customer, and normally for an IPO, it's more about like 15%. So even knowing that they had not disclosed critical information about a negative future, they then raised the price, increased the number of shares, and increased the number of shares sold to regular people. And the big banks that underwrote it said, well, we liked that. We wanted to increase the number of shares to retail investors because it covered our butts. And so that's the first piece of bad news. The second piece is that the SEC asked Facebook to disclose to them what their revenue per customer was, average revenue per customer. I think it was per month. And they said, Facebook said, well, we don't like to look at those numbers. We prefer to look at overall subscriber rate. And the SEC just did the math. They took the number of subscribers and the revenue, and they did the calculations, and they found out that Facebook gets about $1.20 per user per month based on ad views. And if you live in Asia or a country that just in general has a lower currency value relative to the dollar or less spending power or however you want to phrase it, in areas that don't have a big market for that kind of thing, they only make about 53 cents per month per customer. This is not a big lucrative business, and certainly not one that should have projected that kind of growth for 107 times revenue to go public like that. And what seems like it was intentionally designed to screw over the average customer who didn't know any better, who was being sold wrong information.
So now this has come out, Eric. Do you think anything will happen?
No.
Bah.
Well, that's that story covered then.
I mean,
as an adjunct to this story, I don't know if anyone in the UK saw the fact that Facebook have also been wrapped over the knuckles for the amount of tax they actually paid last year, considering the amount of profit they actually made. And the fact that they're seeming to be funneling most of their sales and profit through through Ireland.
Chat room wants this to know, so does Eric ever breathe?
This is so, it's all just, that Facebook is sounding more and more dodgy than ever. Is this a cynical ploy, or are people just being a bit, just not even thinking about it? I mean, this is something that anybody who started a company would not have the moral, would consider it morally repugnant and wouldn't want to do that unless they were a car salesman or estate agent.
Use the word company and moral in the same sentence. I'm confused.
with respect to all car salesmen and estate agents.
Mark Zuckerberg's going to find a new friend in prison called Bubba. They're going to be very rich.
He's not going to go to prison. He's too rich to go to prison.
It's not new, is it? I mean, how much revenue did Amazon generate in the UK in the last year, and how much tax did they pay? Now, you don't really need figures to work that one out. Okay, it was about, I can't remember. It was an incredibly low percentage of corporation tax.
Apparently, we're overly negative on this show.
You know, quite near zero, I think the answer was.
Yeah, so, Facebook.
Yeah, so, I mean, all economies, if you're saying, I don't know what percentage of purchases, I mean, you just look at the guys on here. What percentage of purchases do you make, especially technology-wise, nowadays on Amazon? I mean, I can't remember the last time I went into a shop now because I'm just getting older and lazier. I just sit there and I click on stuff I don't need and they deliver it. And that's what I do. But in the old days, when I went to a shop and bought things I don't need, at least the country got a good percentage of that in my tax revenues or their tax revenues. And nowadays, I mean, it's no wonder there's no money left because no one's paying tax on anything if we buy it on the internet anymore.
I think this has nothing to do with Facebook.
Well, no, it's the same thing. Facebook in this country haven't paid their tax bill.
They paid £238,000 tax last year on sales of 20.4 million. However, it's anticipated that the total sales in the UK were around 175 million.
Very good. Obviously not a profitable business then. I'm not sure what that's got to do with Facebook.
That they've actually played down that figure to such an extent that...
But that's not inside. Let's just be clear before we get sued.
No, that's not insider training. It's legal.
No. It's not
ethical.
We're not here talking about tax. We're talking about Facebook's IPO and how it's insider trading, which is, I don't know how we got into profits and tax payments. But
yeah, I'm as baffled as you are. I think it's because while I was talking about that, everyone in the chat room was just going on about pink shirts.
Yeah, no, they've lost it completely. the thing that's happened the news of the week really is that Batwench has found a purple bra to go with her maiden honour dress. We're now waiting on whether we get matching knickers or not, and apparently we do. We've got matching knickers to go with the purple bra, and Batwench did last week ask if there was one that held an iPhone. I think stretching a bit far there. Just take the 40 Gs and walk away, mate. There you go. And that's not 40. That's not 40 grand. Right, Stuart Hurd, you wrote a review the other week, and you said we talked after drivel, and no one's disagreeing with you. But I did say to you last week, I want an extra star for Miles Weekly. You haven't done it, and I think that says more about you than it does about me, young man. There you go. Point raised. Miles Weekly deserves a star. Thanks to Jim as well again this week. He's done all the docs with all the stories and all that kind of stuff.
Thanks, Jim.
As well. You're a great man. Thank you ever so much.
Absolutely.
My work backs off a little bit, I think, in November, so I'll get back to doing the daily show with a bit of work.
Time for the Christmas rush, where there'll be plenty going on.
Oh, Santa will be coming back. Oh, yes, absolutely. We've worked a new deal out.
Very good impression of him, Ewan.
It's very good, isn't it? Yeah, it's not bad at all. We've been practicing. Right. This podcast and all the others would not be possible without UK 2. If you want to buy stuff for the web, you're wasting your time going anywhere else. Don't go to any other places. They're all rubbish. Go to uk2.net. Go to our website first. Click through. Buy all your stuff. You get 1/5 off domains. I bought 2 domains this week and I got 20% off. No one gives you 20% off on domains. Piece of cake. If you go in and if you buy a little virtual hosting package with a domain name, with 50 email addresses and the site builder application, you'll get massive reductions in all of that thanks to the offer codes that we've got, which are on our sponsors page. And then also what you're going to get is great customer service that they offer, which is absolutely brilliant. And before I finish doing this advert, you could have purchased it and you could have a website up and running using the site builder app. 1 minute to get a page going. Carl used to do it, and he used to do it as a demonstration. One page, straight up, in under a minute. You can't beat UK2 for service, and you can't beat UK2 for prices. They're absolutely brilliant. Give them a go. And if you don't believe me, write in, tell me what the difference is, and I'll give you the difference back on their service if you're getting it that much cheaper. There you go. Stuff you can take. I'm going to give you the money back. And no one, last week, wrote in with the last word of the podcast to win my Canon 450D. And I've got to say, if you'd have written in, I'd have given it you. You missed a chance. There we go. UK2.net, love them to bits. 24 terabytes of data last month. That's a lot. Thank you. Right. Have we got any cool things? James, would you like to start us off?
I have to say, I do like the front page of the UK2.net. Some cool things there.
Hugely cool things. They are really, really
good. £9 a month
company.
For a dedicated server. That's impressive.
I get two or three emails a week talking about UK2 and how people have had like an issue where something's gone wrong, website's gone down, or they've not got any. And it's not that they're not bothered that the website's gone down. Like, yeah, occasionally that happens. It's the fact that they said that they raised a ticket. They said it's critical. I've got my website down. And before they got a reply to the ticket, the website was back up and running. And then they got another thing saying we fixed it. Just brilliant. What have you got for us, mate?
Two things. The first thing was I hadn't realised it had happened, but there is a follow-up to Angry Birds called Bad Piggies for the Android, and I dare say the iPhone.
I dare not
and
buy
it's
it.
Free on the Android, and it's kind of almost like an Incredible Machine thing. You have to build these little gadgets and go get to a destination, and you get stars and stuff. And it's a great 5 minute in the morning game. Very good fun.
Morning motion game.
Absolutely, it is. And the other one, something which the two obsessions in my life are my webcams at the front of the house, and I can't remember the other thing. It can't have been that much. Oh, that's my router, which never seems to work properly. And I've been obsessing about my webcams to the point where I've got this thing called Tiny Cam Monitor Free, which displays your webcams on your phone screen. And it's really cool. You can have both of them on the screen. I can sort of keep an eye on things, which is quite good. Tiny Cam Monitor Free, just type into Google, and it's really if you've got one of these ones that pan and tilt, you can swipe the screen and the camera moves as well. Hours of fun should you wish to have it, and it's all free. I love free stuff.
Excellent, mate. Good choice. Alex, we've jumped on you a bit here, but have you got anything?
Yes, it's the things that I recommended to you personally during the week. I've purchased I got a new, whatever that big thing looks like, my phone's called a pad. I got a new one of those this week. And I did find that the cables are too short to charge the thing up and sort of lie in bed and read the newspaper in the morning. And I looked around on Amazon and I found this 3 meter long, which is 10 meters, cable for £2.99 with free delivery. What I like about this is one of the reasons I didn't want to buy any more Apple cables is because I keep breaking them. The bit that goes onto the 30-pin connector always ends up getting knackered, and they're so expensive. So I bought this. It's a flat cable. It's not that tiny little round connector. It's all molded at the end. You'd have to really go some to break this. And the test was today, would 10 foot of big, fat, heavy USB cable still charge an iPad? And the answer is yes, it does. So I'm very happy, and at £2.99, including free delivery, I don't think you can go wrong, really.
Why pay more?
I'm just trying to find a picture of it, because it is rather good value. I bought four of these, and they've probably arrived at my parents already, but it's a nice... The thing that's quite nice, though, is the cable's flat, isn't it?
Exactly, and it's a really quite a thick, heavy cable.
And just to satisfy the chat room, I've got a pink version. There you go.
That's the 30-pin connector on one end and USB on the other, is it?
Exactly. But the problem I have with these cables is that just the ends, just where they join the connector and the cable, they just fall to bits.
They do. The little the insulation comes off the sides, doesn't it?
And I tell you, you've got to go some to break these.
Yeah, that's not a lightning connector on the other end. That's a standard USB, by the way. But there you go. And they're ridiculous. £2.99 each. I bought four.
And how many colours were there? It was loads of them.
There's green, teal, white, orange, red, pink, and black. So one for every colour of iPod.
Oh, wow, that yellow one's a bit bright.
It's orange.
No, there's a yellow one as well.
Oh, well, that's what you get for buying yellow. Lordy. There is a yellow one. I've just seen it. Oh, hey. Jolly good. Oh, you can buy a multiple pack of them as well.
Oh, cool.
Superb. There we go. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Nice and easy. Ms. Sarah Gray, what do you have for us?
I have to say, Mr. Rankin, that I've got you to thank for my cool thingy this week.
Good God.
You tweeted out this week about the fact that you were having to phone a 0844 number, and that you were on hold for 20 minutes, and it suddenly reminded me of a website that I haven't used for a little while, but I do use it occasionally when I'm confronted with having to call a company on an 0870, which is a particular pet hate of mine, because when we know that they're using it as revenue, and there's a big incentive for them to actually keep you on hold because they're raising more money. There's a website I came across some time ago. It was actually recommended to me, called SayNoTo0870.com. And it's brilliant because what it does is you go in there and you can look up by company, or you can look up if you've got an 0870 number, and you can find alternate standard landline numbers, which are the basic numbers that are actually fronting that 0870 number. And there's loads of different alternatives, and you can even, if you find one that isn't on there, you can actually add it to yourself as well. It's absolutely brilliant. Saved a fortune.
Yeah, I mean, I've used that a couple of times, and I've got to say, I've never found an alternate number on that website for where I wanted to go.
Really?
Yeah, no, I never have.
I would say most of the time I've looked for numbers on there, I found it. I mean, sometimes it might not necessarily be that obvious, and you've got to find and you've got to look for it. But I have actually found it. Found most of the time.
Chat room suggesting I need to do a chat room cool thing. So there you go, Batwench. You can pick tonight's chat room cool thing.
I think it'd be purple and a 42G or something, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly. That's why I want the picture up. And Mr. Lanigan, what do you have for us? 2 weeks running.
Oh, I have, as promised from last week, Borderlands 2 for the Xbox 360. I think it's for every platform. It's also on Steam for the PC, I think. One of my favorite games, one of the best games I've played in years, I would say, in some ways. It's very much... I felt like it's Zelda, especially like Zelda 64, meets the first-person shooter. A lot of people say it's like a Diablo or a lot of dungeon looting games, which I've never really played much of. But to me, I had more fun with this game than I've had since, you know, as a kid playing like Zelda 64, like for the first time exploring a very well-crafted, whimsical, surprising 3D environment in a you know, mythical place. Where clearly there was just such an originality of design and the surprises, and you never know what's coming next. And it's also funny. It's probably the first video game I've ever played where I thought, this is actually funny. Most video game humor is like, oh, come on, that's cheap, that's crass, that's easy. This is really funny. They got a bunch of writers who wrote for this, who wrote jokes, who wrote plot lines. The characters are hilarious. And it's a very contemporary sense of humor, very funny. A lot of you could call it dark humor, but that sounds dumb. But it's funny. And again, just the sheer imagination that went into this, and you're always surprised. I did not play Borderlands 1. I should say that. So 2 points on that. First is, you can play this without having played Borderlands 1, and you can do just fine. And the other thing is, maybe some of this you've already said, well, I was surprised by it, you know, 3 years ago with version 1, not the second one. So for me, it's new. One complaint I have, though, is the inventory system. They advertise that they have a bajillion guns. And what they mean is every gun or every even like personal upgrade you get, like to increase your stats or something, is all generated randomly. And it's based on probability. So like if you loot and open various treasure chests and containers, your probability of coming on a good gun, you know, it's like color coded. And the good stuff is like blue and purple and orange. And your chance of getting one of those is very slim. But you get so many, you get like these, you can only hold so many in your backpack. But they just constantly are giving you these guns and things that you can't hold. And so you have to run back to the vending machine and sell them. And it's really hard to tell what gun is better than what other gun. Because again, everything is like the statistic will be like just one percentage off between. So I found that too confusing, too, a waste of time. But you can enjoy the game without that, because there's just so much to have fun with in this game. I very much recommend it. And I also look forward to seeing what they do with Borderlands 3, because it's they've said now it is a franchise. It's popular enough. It got like Game of the Year edition with its first one. I'm probably going to pick up a used copy of the first one once I finish this one, because it's just the game design and the whimsy and the humor and the imagination that went into this world. I should say it's a different planet. It takes place on a planet called Pandora, and that's just like, I mean, every planet's Pandora apparently now. Avatar, everything. But so you're it's like a Wild West. It's like you're it's like a gold rush for this purple thing. Well, you'll see. Pick up the demo, or there's no demo, but just buy it and see for yourself. I'm done.
Okay, well done, mate. Thank you for that.
How much is it free?
No.
$60.
Good lord.
Ish.
I think the whole thing about these games, though, is if you've got like 24 hours, I mean, it must be sort of 20 hours worth of gameplay. That is a hell of a lot of comedy and scripting and stuff that goes into it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Planet Fern Gully, says Tony.
And there's so much stuff. Let me just say, James, you're right. There's so much that goes into it. But what's funny is there are so many Easter eggs and hidden missions and things that you find from just exploring the environment and doing things. I feel like Zelda originated that, especially in the 3D. Zelda 64 was very pioneering with that, which is going around just trying things and just the pure joy of going, oh my God, that just did something and someone expected I would do that, but then it happened. And it's like these things that you don't expect. It's
And that's why I feel like it really, like, so many games are just cliche ripoffs of existing games. And this one really brings an originality to the point where I was surprised and didn't know what was coming next. And very few games have done that since, you know, since you're a kid playing games for the first time. So
it's kind of, yeah, it's like the opposite of those games where you end up with a brick wall and just go, I've got no idea what to do now.
Right, exactly. Open world environment, lots of exploration. And that's funny to me. I find that funny as a psychological phenomenon that we like to explore. At least I do. I had so much fun just exploring this fake world, this work of imagination of people who just thought, I want to make a world for people to explore and I want them to have fun doing it. And then what do you know? It's fun. Even though it's totally fake, I'm not actually going somewhere. I'm sitting in a chair. But there's something fun about that exploration. And suddenly you're in a desert world and a snow world and a lava world and just all these different places. So many characters. I won't give away some of the characters, but it's funny. It's very creative.
Jolly good. Excellent. Batwench has picked the chat room cool thing for this week. We'll rotate this this next time. So at the start of the show, we'll get someone to come up with something. I got a picture because I thought I was going to joke about the fact that it was going to be a purple bra. But guess what? It's a purple bra. Yes, Batwench has bought her purple bra. Here's a picture of it, but as you can see, it doesn't quite fit on the screen, unfortunately, because it's 40G. But there you go. It's a purple bra. It's called the Tuxedo Bra. I've put the link in the show notes if you really want one of these. And I've just navigated away from the page, and it said, people who also bought this item bought the following. Latex rubber black G-string back briefs. What do you want to tell us then, Batwench? Hey? What do you tell us? There you go. That's Batwinch's pick. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
It's been one of those shows, hasn't it?
It has been, really. my pick is Call of Duty Black Ops, and it's on the Mac App Store. It's £34.99, and it downloads like a dream. I've got a copy. This is the beauty. I've got a copy on my own computer here on the Mac Pro, and I've got a copy on the MacBook Pro, and I can take it everywhere with me. I can put it on other computers. I've got 5 versions of it kicking around. You can't get that for £30. No. And it's a good playable game as well. I haven't got it on Xbox or anything like that, and I've really enjoyed playing it with a mouse. I'm not a great one for shooters on Xbox, but it's £34.99, and it's Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And apparently they're selling Resurrection now as well, Black Ops Resurrection, which is like a zombie-type thing. So I'll be going for that one too. Lovely. Where can we get a hold of you then, Monsieur Hart?
Do you know, I was having a think earlier, because we're getting we're a little bit late to the game, but we're getting a family Xbox 360 for Christmas, and I was wondering if the British tech, is it Call of Duty Clan? Which is the game they've got a clan of?
Modern Warfare 3, and I'm getting Greek because I still haven't opened it.
Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare, we've got a clan for BT, for Bragel Tech, British Tech, the BTN.
Well, you know the new one's coming out in November, so you may as well just send that one back and order the new Black Ops. It's going to take place in a future world with all different guns and everything.
No, you're talking about Modern Warfare 3 now.
No, I know, but the way they do it, they sort of alternate each year, Modern Warfare, like the main series, and then Black Ops. So basically, when everyone goes to Black Ops, they stop playing in the multiplayer entirely, in number 3, and they stop releasing any new content for it. So you might, my point is, by the time you get to it, you might be the only one there.
I've been there.
That won't be the first time then.
Yeah, so I'm in the party all by myself, standing there.
You're getting a 360 then.
We're getting a 360, so the best place to find me is around about Christmas time, all on my own in a world with nobody else looking for bras.
How true that may turn out to be.
Unfortunately so. SYZYGY, Sissy G on Twitter as well.
Oh, and Batwench has missed the pit going out because her home hub has just died beforehand. Bugger. Bad luck.
You'll have to listen to the podcast if you can bear it.
Foxy, where can we get you, pal?
You can get me on... no, you can't get me there. Alex G Fox at AOL. No, that's the wrong one as well. What one? Oh, Twitter thing, Alex G Fox.
Very good, mate. Mr. Clayden is going to kick your ass, James, apparently, according to Paul on the chat room.
Is he?
Yeah, he's quite good, apparently. Sarah, where can we get you, girl?
You can get me on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK.
Thank you.
And everywhere else at Sarah Jane UK as well.
Jolly good. And Mr. Lanigan, finally.
At ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/ericlanigan, ericlanigan.
And you can get me, Ewan Rankin, on at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. And we're going to be back for the photo show and the Mac show tomorrow, as normal. We've got Adam Christensen turning up for that as well. And we've got the F1 show immediately after this show. So stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, we're going to record a media show this weekend. I forgot.
A media as well? Brilliant. I've been listening to the media shows. They're very good. They're very good. Underexposed, mate. That's the problem.
I think we're supposed to be doing a web show as well. I know
web shows come in.
W is otherwise engaged.
Oh, mate, he's got his head up his arse. Leave him alone.
But
he'll be back soon.
Yeah, there's one event need
fight, you. Fighting fit. He's going to kill me for saying that. Never mind. See you next week. Thanks for listening.